information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you along with a few others, Lord. Just us few, we declare that you're worthy. Just us few, Lord, we declare that you're awesome. Ooh, yeah. And that you deserve the praise. That you deserve the honor. You deserve the glory. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word that sustained me all this time. Your word that has strengthened me through all the things I've been through. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Ghost who has guided me through dangers seen and unseen, who have given me what belongs to you that I may not be ignorant of the things and the devices of the enemy. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that covers me, that cleanses me, that cures me, that connects me to you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for this people today. I pray that the peace of God will be with them. Father, I thank you right now for your grace that is sufficient for us and the strength that you have that is made perfect when we're weak. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for clarity of thought and precision of speech. I thank you for allowing my tongue to be the pen of a ready writer today. And Lord, the hearts of the hearers will be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity to those here that hear and believe your word. We thank you, Lord, that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Thank you, Lord, in this moment of worship, those of us that will worship, that we have been made whole in your presence. And Father, we know that in your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your sanctified presence, your holiness. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you, God. We praise your name, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. And Lord, after you've done what you want to do in this service, after you've blessed us, after you've touched us and healed us and delivered us, Lord, we will be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. We will lift your name on high. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church of the living God say amen.
Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.
Simple title, simple thought. The power of his touch. Sub. When the word meets your condition. When the word meets your condition. That there's power in his touch. That when the word meets your condition has no choice but to change. Do I have anybody to say, I got a condition, preacher, that seemed like it won't move? I'm looking hopeless in this thing, but thanks be to God. The Bible says that we have not a hope. We have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. In other words, God will not let us down. God is looking to bless us. God, the Bible said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth looking for somebody. Are you the one? Are you in here today looking for one that he can prove himself strong to? Do I have anybody here? The Bible tells us, the Bible says, Isaiah said, that who is the arm of the Lord revealed? What does that mean? That means that who does God roll his sleeve up to and shows his muscle? Do I have anybody? He rolls up his sleeve so that he can get busy and work in your situation, work in your favor. Do I have somebody today that said God is rolling up his sleeve? I'd never forget once when AJ was a little smaller, he said, Dad, let me see your muscle. I don't have big muscles. I know a lot of people that got bigger muscles than I got, but I rolled up my sleeve and I showed him that muscle anyway. He touched it. He felt it. He said, man, you got some big old muscles. And I said, well, thank you. And to him, to my child, he thought that I had some huge muscles. And what I did was reveal my strength to him. And so what God is saying, you're my child. You ought to look at my muscle and realize that I'm strong enough, I'm powerful enough to handle whatever it is that you might be going through. I'm strong enough and powerful enough to be able to deliver you from whatever has you bound. Do I have anybody? Y'all don't want this morning. But I'm strong enough. There's nothing too hard for God. He can do anything but fail, lie, and die. Do I have two or three people on either side of the room that agrees that when I feel the power of his touch, when the word meets my condition, I'm not going to stay the same, but I'm changing because of God God's word and what he said. I'm protected by the word of God. I'm able to overcome obstacles because of the word. That word's better than y'all saying amen here. He says that you're loose from your infirmity. He told her that she was free, but she was still bound down. But it was only for a moment, because by the time she got to him, my Lord, look at verse 13. He says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. We understand her condition. We see that the cause was the devil. And we know that God had compassion. And that's what we have to have in order to do healing. Yeah. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall cast out devils. All of this will happen for them that believe. Amen. And so in order for that to happen, we have to have the love of God. Why is the love of God there? Because the Holy Ghost put the love of God there. Romans 5:5, the Holy Ghost is given to us to and shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. And so he says, now we see the cure. The woman came to Jesus, and not only did she walk to him to get her cure or to get her healing or to get her deliverance, but she came to him that he might touch her. You see, some of us, we come and we hear the word, but we don't get touched. That's all right. You don't have to say nothing. I talk like this all day. We come, but we don't get touched. What am I saying? We don't get close to him. Yeah. We don't give total attention to him. We don't follow his instruction. We don't go to him and allow him to experience us and us to experience him. Come on and say amen. The Bible said that in that day, that many are going to say, Lord, Lord, and shall not enter into the kingdom. Why is that? Because he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, thou workers of iniquity. They're going to prophesy. They're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. They're going to carry a big old Bible. They're going to dress in a suit and a dress. But they're not going to make it because they don't really know him. They never got intimate with him. They never got close to him. They never let him touch them. Do I have anybody? You can't come to church and not let God touch you. He has to touch you at some point in order for you to be delivered, in order for you to be saved. You got to let God touch you. You got to have an experience with God that changes your life, that changes your stinking thinking. Your mind is changed. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and been. Behold, all things have become new. I'm looking because I see some new stuff. That's why the old songwriter say, I looked at my hands and they look new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Oh, come on and say, man, he touched my heart and he changed me, touched my mind and rearranged me. I know that God has touched me because I don't act like I used to. I don't do what I used to. I don't say what I used to. I don't go where I, come on and say, man, here.
I don't think they're ready for that, Gus. They don't act like it yet.
He says that he laid hands on them. And I know people don't like laying on of hands. But if we are the body of Christ, what is Christ doing here? He's laying hands. Why do we do that? So that people will have the experience of the touch. Because there's what? Power in the touch. He says that immediately after she made it to him And look, the thing about it is that this woman has an infirmity. She's bent over and Jesus sees it, but he does not go to her. He calls her to him. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want a healing? How bad do you want a deliverance? Will you with your infirm self decide, I'm going to church? With your infirm self decide, I'm going to worship him. I don't care how much pain I'm in. With your infirm self, I'm going to give him praise. I don't care what they say. They see I've got some problems. They see something wrong with me. I don't care who knows what's wrong with me. I'm going in front of the folks. I'm going to lift my hand. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to let him touch me. I don't care who's looking. He called me. He called me. He didn't call you. He called me. So I don't care what you think about me.
After he touched me, you're going to see something different. After he touches me, you're going to see me lifted up. After he touches me, you're not going to see me with the same old problem. You won't be able to say, "Dad, she go with her problem self. There she go with her infirmity." You're not going to be able to say that. You're going to say, "There she is, the woman that used to be this and used to be that, the man that used to be this, and God delivered him. God set him free. God cut the bands of wickedness that was binding them, and now they're free." Come on, do I have a witness here? He said immediately she was made straight. See, some of us are so crooked that we don't think that God can help us. But God can make us straight. And in the Bible says, and she glorified God. When she glorified God, all that means is that she gave God a tremendous praise. She began to lift up the name of Jesus. She began to shout hallelujah. She began to turn the church out. Because a lot of times we come to church and lay back. But people who've been delivered not going to lay back. That's why I wonder, what have you been through lately that God has delivered you from? Because if you've been through anything and you begin to think of what God has done for you, that's why the songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving or delivering. Do I have anybody in the house today that say, "I've been through a whole lot of stuff, preacher. I had some things that I couldn't tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Now I can tell them what the Lord has done for me. I can tell them that I was once sick, but God laid hands on me and healed me. I can tell them that I wasn't no good, that I was infirmed by the devil and looked like he had power over me, but glory be to God, I've been delivered. I've been set free." Do I have anybody here that say, "I've been infirmed. I've been like this woman. I've been bent over. I've been to a place that I was ashamed of myself, but I came to church anyway. I knew that it was some folks talking, but I didn't care because I heard the voice of Jesus saying unto me, 'Come on to me.'" Oh, come on and say amen here. I heard his voice and he called me out. Oh, come on and give God glory. Look at what he said. I got to finish this. He said she glorified God. But you know one thing, when God begin to do stuff in your life, you always got the doubters. You always got the naysayers. And you always got the haters out there that's looking. And you know what? It happened to be somebody who was religious, somebody who opened up the doors of the church preacher. It was somebody at the synagogue that did not like the fact that this woman was healed in the church service. I don't think we need to be doing that at church. I don't think that all of this needs to take place at church. I think we go a little bit above what we need to. And this woman was healed. And it says in verse 14 that the ruler of the synagogue got mad because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, messed up their church service. I'm glad when Jesus messes up my church service. I'm glad when he interrupts my time at church to let me know I'm here. Oh, come on and say amen. I'm glad that when he interrupts, he lets us know that he's present. And so I'm thankful that when the Lord opens up and let me know that I'm in the place, I then say, "You know what, Lord, I needed you. I need you to heal my body." I say, "Lord, there's some people out here that need you to touch their soul. There's some loved ones that need your help. And Lord, while you're here, why don't you just touch them right now and turn this church out? Why don't you touch them right now and make them do something that they wouldn't normally do?" Do I have anybody here that say, "I'm waiting on Jesus to touch me so I can be like this woman and glorify God, make my enemies mad, make those who are religious uncomfortable"? Do I have anybody? Come on and say yeah. He said you can do this on another day. You don't have to do it on Sunday. You don't have to do it on Saturday or on the Sabbath day. He said you need to do this on your own time. We got a program that we're trying to do. We're not here for all of this. But then the Lord, look at the correction. The contrary religious didn't like what happened, but those who were there that were standing around heard this man get corrected, because Jesus said, "You're a hypocrite." He said, "Now you act like you're really into this thing about God, but you're really not. You're not in it for the outcome. You're in it for the income. You're not in it to do the right thing. You're in it because you want to be in control of things." Do I have a witness? A lot of times people, they're not looking for the right thing. They're looking to control a thing. I wish I had somebody. We got to quit being contrary. Every time somebody want to do something in the church, you don't like it. You're getting mad about it. We got to stop that. We got to stop downing it and get to the place where we can rejoice at whatever God is doing and say, "Lord, it's not my program. It's your program." And realize that if we speak against it, we're speaking against what God is trying to do, because we don't know what God wants to do in somebody's life. I wish I had somebody. Oh, we'd have had times where we had youth musicals, and then God turned around and touched those young people. I don't know what God wants to do, but what I want you to know is that I'm willing to do what God wants me to do inside of a service. Do I have somebody? Oh yeah, he began to correct them because Jesus said, "You're a hypocrite." He said, "How many of you won't take an animal that you got and let him go and let him get watered?" He was saying to the people, in a way of metaphors, he was letting them know. He said, "Now this woman has been bound like an oxen, bound like a donkey, and you let your donkey go, but let me let mine go." Come on and say amen. Let me let this woman who's been carrying this burden free so she can water, drink from the well of life, the water of life, who is Jesus. Do I have anybody? Y'all looking at me funny. He said, "I want to let this woman go so she can freely drink from the well of life." Come on and say amen. And he said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" He said that this woman is a seed of Abraham, and she has a promise that has been given to her. It's only right for her to be free. I wish I had somebody. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. He said, "This woman is a seed of Abraham, and Satan has interfered with what is due to her." He's interfered with what she deserves. Come on and say hallelujah. You see, Satan interferes with what God wants to do in your life. And you know what? God has promised a whole lot of things that Satan tried to interfere with. He's trying to get in front of you. He's trying to get you off track. He's trying to bind you up so that you can't have the freedom and life that God wants you to have. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Do I have any witnesses? Jesus said, "I came that you can have this." And this woman didn't know the promises that were set up for her. This woman didn't know that she, because she was a daughter of Abraham. In other words, Abraham, how do you become a seed of Abraham? You become a seed of Abraham by your faith. He said this woman has faith because she showed up on the Sabbath day just to hear a word from the Lord. She wasn't complaining about her issue. She wasn't complaining about her infirmity. She had accepted and embraced her infirmity. But I don't want to see her like that. If she come in my presence, something's going to change. That's why it's important for us as a church to try to bring the presence of God here, to make this a God-friendly church, to lift our hands in worship, because when you praise God, he inhabits the praises of his people. And when we set the atmosphere and we develop a praise and worship atmosphere, then God will come in and move. You don't know who's gonna get healed, but you ought to be praising God like you need the healing. You don't know who's gonna get delivered, but you ought to praise God like it's you that's gonna get delivered. You've been dealing for 18 years, for 19 years, for 6 months with your infirmity. Don't get comfortable. Tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, don't get comfortable in your condition. God is about to change your life. God is about to heal your condition." Do I have a witness? Somebody say yes here. But when I look a little further, when I look at verse 17, "And when he had said these things, and his adversaries were ashamed, all of the people people rejoiced for the glorious things that was done by him. You know what I see there? When I use my prophetic imagination, when I use my theological imagination, I see something more than people just saying, no, that's good. What I see in the scripture is that they've been waiting on Jesus to set that man straight because somebody else had been delivered, but they couldn't praise God because of the program committee. They couldn't praise God for the ruler of the synagogue wouldn't let them show their shout in the house of the Lord. So they were so happy when Jesus said, shut your mouth and come on and say amen and let these people praise God. I can't get in the way. If you want to praise him, you can praise him if you want to. If you got something to praise him for, these people were sitting there and they begin to rejoice. The word rejoice means that you show the joy that's down on the inside. You show it on the outside. You begin to leap and shout. You begin to be jubilant. And you begin to do like David. When he danced before the Lord, he began to dance. I wish I had somebody. If you want to make the devil mad, you give God some praise. If you want to make the devil angry, don't worry about his anger, because God will protect you while you praise, while you worship. God will protect you. Do I have anybody? When I look at the text, it said that these people, they begin to rejoice, not just because she was loosed, but for all of the things that God had done. See, when you start thinking about God delivering one person, you start back thinking that God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. You start to think how God delivered him, how God delivered me, how God blessed us all, that we're in here today, that we're on top of the dirt, and the dirt ain't on top of us, that we got breath, and he woke us up this morning, clothed us in our right mind, gave us shoes for our feet, and clothes for our back, put food on my table. When I start thinking about all of that, I wish I had somebody to say, I'm right there with you. When I look back over my life, and I think things over, I realize that God's been good to me more than you or this whole world could ever be. Do I have a witness? Say yes! Say yeah. When I think about how God brought me through the trials and brought me through the trouble, brought me through persecution, I've been lied on, I've been talked about, I've been buked, I've been scorned, talked about, as sure as you're born. But the Lord heard my despairing cry. He lifted me up out of the horrible pit and placed my feet on a solid rock. Anybody here? Say, every time I turn around, woo, I think I'll do that again. Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. I don't know about you, but God's been good. He's kept me when I didn't want to keep myself. He's kept my mind. He's kept my heart. He's kept my flesh. Do I have anybody that say, I believe? I believe I run on. Come on and say yes. Nobody told me that the road will be easy, but I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand, because God's been good. If you don't have anything to praise God for, praise God for me, that he took me up from underneath the tree. He took me out the brickyard, took me off Dawn Street, put a word in my mouth, changed my life, took beer out of my hand, put a Bible in my hand. Somebody say yeah, say yeah. I'm so glad I can rejoice, and I can rejoice again. As Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, Do I have any rejoicers? Anybody in the synagogue? Anybody in the church that say, I'm glad that God delivered? I'm glad that God set free. I'm so glad. Anybody glad? Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm glad. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I was bound, but now I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound, no more chains holding me. Do I have anybody? Say yeah. Please go with me and see the word. The word say the people begin to rejoice. When God shuts up the devil, you ought to rejoice. See, the devil's been talking to you, telling you you ain't gonna make it. You might as well give up. Why you're going to church? You've been like this for all this time. Don't nobody like you. That ain't even the place you need to be. The devil's been lying to you. But when Jesus shut his mouth, say shut up and let these people praise, God will shut the mouth of the gainsayer. God will shut the mouth of the devil. When he said you can't, God say yes you can. When he say you can't make it, God say I already made a way. When they say you're gonna die, God say I came to give you life. When they say you ain't no good, God say but I changed your life. I erased your pages, gave you a new life, and now your life is in Christ. Do I have a witness? Say yes. Say yes. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Some of y'all still looking at me and wondering if I'm gonna quit. Well, I'm waiting on you. Waiting on you to say yeah. Waiting on you to say amen. Waiting on you to say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. Because I was infirm. I had a spirit of the enemy that came down on me. Didn't know where it came from. I had a sickness. I had a dis-ease. I had trouble in my way. Had to cry sometimes. But I learned that if I hold on, that the Lord will pick me up, that the Lord will set me free. He that the Son set free is free indeed. Now say yes, say yes. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Come on, will you be like the woman who went to church and she started jumping? You heard it before, but listen to it again. And the deacon say, woman, you need to sit down. We don't do that at church. We don't think it's necessary. But the woman in the offering, she started jumping again. He said, woman, sit down. I told you we don't do that. When they got ready for the benediction, she started jumping again. She said, let me tell you something, Mr. Deacon, and let me tell the rest of the church. You may not do this at your church, but I want you to know that I do it for a reason. Why do I jump? Because you wasn't there when I lost my husband. You wasn't there when I buried all of my children. And you ain't there to help me on day to day. But the one that who is there is Jesus. And Jesus, Jake, understands you. My M, problem P. So I jump because Jesus understands my problems. Do anybody here say, I know the Lord understands my problems. That's why I lift my hands. That's why I say amen. Say yes. Say yes. Help me close this because y'all ready to go. I'm looking at a few people that say, preacher, you need to sit out because it's time to go. Help me close this up. Tell your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor's not moving. Bump them a little bit. Nudge them a little bit. Hold them by the hand. Look them in the eye. Whatever you gotta do, get their attention. And say, neighbor, I'm doing what the pastor say. Get mad if you want to. I'm going to praise right here. Say, neighbor, oh, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Ain't the Lord all right? I say, ain't the Lord all right? Say yeah. Say yeah.
We know your hearts are burned within.